إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدع وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار، أما بعد. We welcome everybody to the first lesson in readings from the book Makanat al-Ilm wal-Ulama. This book is entitled The Status of Knowledge and the Scholars. And this is a book compiled by our Sheikh Dr. Muhammad ibn Qamar ibn Salim Bazmul, hafizahullah ta'ala, who is a teacher, a professor in the prestigious University of Ummul Qura in the great city of Mecca in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. This book, we chose to study this book because, one, firstly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made seeking knowledge wajib on every Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Talab al-ilm faridatun ala kulli muslimin." And this hadith is mutawatir. There's so many different narrations for this that it has reached that multiple narrations for the change for this hadith. There's so many narrations which mention this hadith that seeking knowledge is wajib, obligatory on every Muslim. And this is opposite to the hadith of which is fabricated, which is very widespread amongst the Muslims, which is seek knowledge even if it means going to China. And this hadith is fabricated. So the authentic hadith is seeking knowledge is wajib on every Muslim. So from there, it is very important for every Muslim to go back and read and study and look at those books which encourage us to seek knowledge. We review and look at those books which encourage us to seek knowledge. So we're looking at the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah which push us to seek this knowledge which Allah has made wajib on every single Muslim. Seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. And this book, Makanat al-Ilm wal-Ulama, The Status of Knowledge and the Scholars by Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul, is a beautiful book because it consists of the beginning or a foundation about the excellence of knowledge and the excellence of the scholars and who they are and these type of things. And then it goes on to deal with some of the doubts and attacks that the people bring, that the deviated people attack the great scholars, especially the scholars of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. May Allah protect him. And he brings refutations against those attacks and those accusations against these scholars, replying to those people. So this is the distinction of this book. It's a beautiful book, and inshallah we will try to read from it and try to take benefits from this great book. So the Shaykh Hafidhullah begins with his first chapter talking about the four main issues which are wajib on every Muslim that he needs to learn. Four main issues which are wajib on every Muslim to learn. And this, in reality, is a chapter from, the beginning of a book called Usul al-Thalatha, or Thalatha Usul, as some of the has been translated. Thalatha Usul, the first three principles, the three main principles. And this book was by a great imam, a great reviver of the deed, a great scholar of the deed, of the especially of the Aqidah, because he revived the da'wah of Tawheed in the Mamlakat al-Arabiyat al-Saudiyah, in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, all over the Arabian Peninsula, and through his da'wah and efforts, it spread out to the rest of the world. And he was the great Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. So his book, Salat al-Usul, was a great book, and this is a chapter, actually, the Sheikh begins with this section. So we'll read the section and then we'll have a look at it. So he begins, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon you to have knowledge of four matters. The first of all is knowledge, al-ilm, which is knowledge and awareness of Allah and the knowledge of His Prophet and knowledge of the religion of Islam with the proofs. So he begins with this first point. Our Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul, he brings with this first chapter. The reason why he brings us this is because this whole aspect is about knowledge. The religion of Islam is a knowledge-based religion. The knowledge of Islam is a knowledge-based religion. It's not a religion based upon experience. It's not a knowledge based upon hearsay. It's not a knowledge based upon, oh, I heard this, and the Imam said this, and such said this, my forefathers, my grandparents. No, Islam is a religion based upon knowledge. Based upon knowledge. So learning about the deen of Islam is not left up to just a few people, but it is wajib on every single Muslim to learn that which he needs of his religion. So firstly, the Muslim needs to learn about his aqidah, his belief. He needs to learn about tawheed. Yani the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is my Lord? Where is my Lord? How do I worship my Lord, my Creator? What are his characteristics? What are his names? What has he described himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the first obligation upon the Muslim. And then he goes on to learn how to worship his creator. And then he goes on to learn about his dealings with the creation, with the people, and his manners, and these type of things. So, knowledge, Islam is a knowledge-based religion. So, because of the Sheikh begins with this, that it is wajib upon you, may Allah have mercy on you, it is wajib upon us to learn four matters. So the first of it is knowledge, al-ilm. So we want to look at a few ta'rifat, definitions of knowledge, so we can understand and comprehend what it means. So one of the definitions we want to look at is the definition by the great faqih, the great mufassir, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And he also explained this book, as Salat al-Usul. And he explained many books to bring it closer to our understanding. He explained many, many books to make it simple for us to understand. And even then, we need explanations of that to help us understand this. And this shows us one beautiful thing, that knowledge, ilm, knowledge is an ocean with no shore to reach. It has no coastline. You can't reach the coastline because the ocean is so vast, so huge, that you can't reach the coastline. This is knowledge. This is ilm. Because ilm is so vast. Knowledge is like an ocean with no shoreline to it, no coastline to it. So this is the beauty of knowledge, that a Muslim is continuously learning from a very young age until he dies. And here when we talk about knowledge, we talk about knowledge of the Sharia, the knowledge of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet, and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah, and then all the different sciences which were extracted from the Kitab and the Sunnah. Knowledge, as Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, knowledge is to comprehend the reality of something. Ilm is to comprehend the reality of something as it truly is. Comprehend the reality of something as it truly is, with certainty. So knowledge is that which is to comprehend the reality of something, to understand something as it truly is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it was mentioned, with certainty, with yaqeen. So this is one of the definitions of knowledge, to comprehend, to understand something, the reality of that thing, yeah? Understand the reality of these ayat, understand the reality of the hadith, as it truly is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended it to be, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it to be, with certainty, with yaqeen. This is one definition of knowledge. Another definition of knowledge, a beautiful definition, is probably the best definition, is by Ibn Qayyim rahimullah. Ibn Qayyim rahimullah was one of the greatest scholars that ever walked on the face of this earth. Ibn Qayyim was one of the greatest scholars that ever walked on the face of this earth. He was a student of one of the greatest, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah. So he gave a definition, and he said, Al-ilmu qala Allah, wa qala Rasuluhu, wa qala Sahaba. This is probably the best definition you give for knowledge. Knowledge is what? Qala Allah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. This is knowledge. Yani the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set down, this noble Quran, these noble ayat, this is knowledge. This is proper add what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Add what the Sahaba said. Because this is the foundation of our religion. This is where we take the sources of our religion. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the book of Allah, the sunnah, the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how the Sahaba, the Salaf implemented this, how the Sahaba implemented this religion. Because we have to remember, the Prophet ﷺ was a teacher. He came to teach the people everything. And this is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that it was not except the role of a prophet, except that he taught the people everything that would bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he taught them that which would keep them away from the hellfire. So the Prophet ﷺ was a teacher, muallimun khair. He would teach the people khair, goodness. So the Prophet ﷺ was a teacher, and the Sahaba, they were his students. The companions were his students. So the best of teachers and the best of students. So the second definition is by Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, which is what Allah said, what the Prophet said, what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, and what the companions said. The third definition we're going to look at, and we'll look at a number of definitions. Why? Because it gives us a good, comprehensive understanding of the definition of knowledge. It gives a comprehensive understanding and definition of knowledge. So the third definition is by Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah. Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, was one of the great scholars, and he was also a student of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And that shows us the great time that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, golden era that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah revived the deen and produced so many students of great caliber. So Imam Zahabi rahimullah, he said, we ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beneficial knowledge. And this is again from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask after the Fajr prayer, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi', I ask of you beneficial knowledge. And Allah mentions in the Quran, say, ask that increase me in knowledge. Oh Allah, increase me in knowledge. So he said, we ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. Okay. Here's a side point that we need to mention, which is very, very important, is that the first thing before we even embark on studying knowledge is that we review sincerity, al-ikhlas. Because a person, he can gather so much information, he can gather lots of ma'lumat, gather, memorize loads and loads and lots of stuff. But if he doesn't have the right ikhlas and the right understanding, it is actually a hujjah, a proof against him. It will not benefit him. It will not benefit him in the dunya nor in the hereafter. So the first thing that the Muslim looks for and checks and reviews and revives is his sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he's seeking this knowledge, he's seeking this beneficial knowledge to raise the ignorance of himself. He wants to remove the ignorance from himself. He wants to worship Allah based upon knowledge. He doesn't want to worship Allah based upon ignorance and jahl. He wants to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon knowledge so he can enter paradise. Purely for Allah's sake. Not to show off. So that people can say, oh, look at him, he's an alim, he's a scholar, he's got knowledge. No, it is purely for Allah's sake. Nor is it to get lots of certificates, because we know these certificates and these type of tazkiyat, yeah, they might help somebody who's on sincere and on the right way, but in most cases, it doesn't really help a person. And we can see how our great scholars from before, they never had these type of things. They never really had certificates. Yes, if a person studies in a Islamic university nowadays, and he achieves or receives a qualification to aid him in the correct da'wah, then this is khair. But if it's just chasing after qualifications and status, it will not help him whatsoever. How many of the people that we know who have gone and taken PhDs, and studied and memorized, and yet they have no understanding, because if Allah hasn't given them khair. Allah hasn't given them khair out of this, because whoever Allah wants khair for, He gives him the understanding of the religion. So we have people, they go and they memorize so many butun, so many texts of books, and yet they have no understanding. They don't understand this, what they've memorized. So really, truly, they have to go back and check their sincerity and ask Allah to give them the understanding of their religion. So, Imam Dhahabi said, we ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. Then he said, do you know what is beneficial knowledge? هَلْ تَعْلَمْ مَا هُوَ الْعِلْمَ الْنَافِعِ. Do you know what is beneficial knowledge? He said, it is what Allah revealed the Qur'an with. It is what Allah revealed the Qur'an with. And what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained from statements and deeds. Okay? And it is what Allah revealed the Quran with. And what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained from statements and deeds. And that for which a prohibition has not come. So we have to understand that knowledge is what is in the Quran and the Sunnah. Not that which is in the books of fiqh and statements and opinions and stuff. Yes, we benefit from the books of fiqh. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. Yes, we benefit from the books of the great imams. Yes, but the knowledge itself is the revelation and not opinions of people. This is status bihi. This is something that we use, associate, or this is something that we benefit from. Yes, but the asal knowledge in itself is the Quran, the book of Allah. That's why we've been asked been encouraged to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been encouraged to memorize the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes on to say, Imam Dhahabi, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man raghaba an sunnati, falaysa minni. Whoever does not desire my sunnah, then he is not of me. Okay, whoever does not want the sunnah, then he is not from the Muslims, from those who are close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Dhahabi said, so it is upon you, O brother, to contemplate over the Book of Allah and to be addicted to researching Bukhari, Muslim, and the other books of Sunan. And he goes on, he continues. But so the shahid here, the point is here, the definition of knowledge is, it is what Allah revealed in the Quran with, and what the Messenger of Allah explained from statements and deeds. Okay, so this is knowledge. This is the foundation of knowledge. So the first knowledge which Muhammad ibn Wahhab ibn Shaybullah brings when he says, "I'lam wafaqni Allah wa iyyak," know that may Allah give you me a new understanding. Yajib alayna arba masail, wajib upon us to learn four issues, four matters. Al-ula, the first, al-ilm, is knowledge. Wahuwa, and that is ma'rifatullah. Ma'rifatullah. Yani, to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And that is the first knowledge. And this is the knowledge of tawheed. This is the knowledge of tawheed. And this is very, very important. The first knowledge is knowledge of tawheed. Regarding this statement, our Shaykh, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhahullah ta'ala, you'll hear many names of scholars, and inshallah we'll mention the names of the scholars who are upon the sunnah, scholars of the past and the present. And this is one of our scholars, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhahullah ta'ala, who lives in Medina. He's an old Shaykh. And he's a murabbi, he's the one who guides people. The sheikh is a noble sheikh and a beautiful sheikh. He says, regarding his explanation of this point, of the Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, he says, أَرْبَ مَسَعِلْ عَمَلِيَّ فِي الدِّينِ وَقَوْلُهُ, that there are four practical matters of the religion. And the first, al-ula, al-ilm, the first is knowledge. He said, al-ilm ضد الجهل, al-ilm, knowledge, is the opposite of ignorance. Knowledge is the opposite of ignorance. And he brings the same ta'arif, okay, same definition as Shaykh Uthaymeen, where he mentions knowledge is to comprehend the reality of something, the reality of something as it truly is, and to have certainty with it. Okay, certainty. Then he says, the Shaykh goes on to say, Al-ilm huwa ma'rifat Allah, ma'rifat nabihi, ma'rifat deen al-Islam bil-adillah. This is what Shaykh Islam Muhammad ibn Wahhab mentioned. So he said, ma'rifat Allah hiya al-iman bihi. And knowing Allah is to have iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Iman is having belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wal iman bima yaqtadi, al iman bi wujudihi, and having faith, having iman in that which necessitates the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's our Lord, our Master, our Creator, He's the one that we worship, and wal iman bi rububiyatihi, and have iman in His Lordship. وَالْإِيمَانِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. So this is the first knowledge. The first knowledge that a Muslim must have is the knowledge of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is the only one that is deserving of worship. Allah is the only one who is deserving of worship. And none other than Him. Okay, none other than Him. No one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of worship. And we have to know this with certainty. And we have to learn this with certainty. And we have to be careful and learn about those things which can make us fall into that which is opposite of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the shirk. Shirk. Yeah. And a few examples of that is going to graves and asking the deceased of the grave to help you. Seeking aid with the deceased. Seeking aid from the jinn and the angels and the prophets. This is shirk al-akbar, the major shirk which takes a person outside the fold of Islam. So a person can come along thinking that what they're doing is correct from Islam, whereas in actuality, in reality, they've gone outside the fold of Islam because they've committed shirk, which takes a person outside the fold of Islam. So the first knowledge is the knowledge of Tawheed. And then comes the knowledge of the Sunnah, Ma'rifat al-Nabi, knowing about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is our Prophet and what has he commanded me with? And then knowing about Islam, the knowledge of Islam, the deen of Islam here, it's very general. Very general, okay, because Tawheed is a part of Islam, the Sunnah is a part of Islam, yes, and Islam meaning here, general with its evidences. With its evidences. So this is the first of the four issues that we need to learn. And that's why it brings us the most important, which is knowledge. The second issue is al-amal bihi, yani acting upon this knowledge. Acting upon this knowledge. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us before. Oh, you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful it is with Allah to Allah that you say that which you do not do. Oh, you who believe, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu bima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say it? Why do you speak about it and you don't do it? Why don't you act upon it? Okay? Most hateful it is to Allah that you say something which you do not do. And these are the characteristics of the Jews and the Christians, not the characteristics of the Muslims. Okay? So we have to act upon the knowledge. We learn the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't use it for philosophical debate. We don't use it to score points. We don't use it to argue against the scholars. We use this knowledge to we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Arabi rahimahullah, who was the great scholar, and not to be confused with Ibn Arabi. Ibn Arabi was the heretic, Sufi, deviant. Okay, Ibn Arabi. Ibn al-Arabi with the alif lam. Ibn al-Arabi, rahimullah, he was the great scholar of hadith. He said, a scholar is not called Rabbani, yani somebody who's teaches the people the basic knowledge before the big knowledge, is not called Rabbani, yani he's not called a scholar until he is aliman, he's a scholar, mu'alliman, teaching, and amilan, yani he's acting upon it. So he's not called a scholar, a Rabbani, yani a great scholar, until he is aliman, that he has knowledge. Mu'alliman, teaching that knowledge, and that he acts upon that knowledge. So this is who a scholar is. And inshallah we'll go later on to see what is the definition for a scholar and how we recognize scholars. So he mentions that he has to be aliman, knowledgeable, mu'alliman, teaching, and acting upon that knowledge. So if you find a person, he has lots of knowledge. Yeah, he received a PhD from an Islamic university. Okay? He studied in an Islamic university. And then he goes and he unites with some organization. And this organization has conferences with the Shia, with the Rafida. They have conferences of unity and togetherness and for the greater goal. They have these conferences, then you know he's not acting upon his knowledge. Then you know he's not acting upon his knowledge because our religion prohibits us from, Islam prohibits us from having unity with the Rafida. It prohibits us from having unity with Ahlul Bidah. It prohibits us from seeking a status and position within politics. This is what a lot of these organizations do. They'll come along and they'll come in the guise of Islam and they'll say, oh look, we want to promote Islam, but we want to get involved with politics, get into governments, and work our way in, and get to the kursi, the position of power. This is not what our Islam allows. Islam doesn't allow this. This is not from Islam to do that. So when we find somebody doing that, we find a person doing that, going to these platforms and these organizations, we find that he's not a scholar, because he's not acting upon the knowledge which Allah has given him. He doesn't act upon this knowledge. If he did, he would say, sorry, I cannot attend your lectures. You have Ahlul Bidah, Sufiya, people who grave worship graves, the people who curse the Aisha Radhiyallahu Anha on your platform, I cannot sit with them. Rather, we will speak against them. And we will tell the people what these people are about. This is what a scholar is. The third point is, the third principle is dawa ilayhi. Dawa to this knowledge. Calling, giving dawa to this knowledge. And our Shaykh Ubayn, hafadhullah, again mentions this point about giving dawa to this knowledge. Giving dawa to this knowledge. And he mentions that for the da'i, for the person who's giving dawa, he has to have certain adab, certain mannerisms. And he mentions some of them very briefly. He said one of them is that he has concern for the guidance of the people. He has concern, guidance for the people and conveying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's not thinking to look down upon the people, no. He's not thinking to, oh, I've got one over the people, no. He's not trying to trap the people, no. But rather, he does this, so he has concern for their guidance. Concern for their guidance. So when we try to tell somebody, when we try to convey the religion, when we want to enjoy the good and forbid the evil, we have the intention that we want the guidance of the people. The second thing he mentions is having gentleness in conveying this down. The third thing is having wisdom when we're talking to the people and giving guidance to the people. The next thing is, the Sheikh mentioned is al-mujadala, yani having discussion, which is with goodness. Yeah, having discussion with that which is with good debate, having a good debate, not having a controversial or angry or hatred or anything like this. Okay, the next, number six, he mentions is having understanding at the fiqh, having fiqh and teaching, okay? Having fiqh and understanding and teaching of this. Number seven, explaining the truth. Explaining bayan al-haq and encouraging them to follow it. Okay, bayan al-haq. Another one he mentioned, the Sheikh mentioned was that, yani, not to lose hope in when you're conveying the da'wah. And another one he mentions, and I think this is the last one he mentions, is having the courage to face the falsehood. Having the courage to face the falsehood of the Ahlul Ahwa, the people of desires, and who the people who follow their own opinions, okay, and follow their desires. So having having the courage to face up to the Ahlul Bidah. Obviously with all those other aspects mentioned before, you know, having wisdom and gentleness, everything, but having the courage to be able to stand up and face the Ahlul Ahwa and Ahlul Badi. The fourth issue of regarding this is as-sabr ala al-adha fihi, yani having patience from the harm in this in knowledge, having sabr in conveying all these points, okay, having sabr regarding this, the deed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having patience regarding this. And the great scholar Sheikh Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah, he mentions that sabr is of three types. Sabr is of three types. Obviously we have to have sabr when we are being harmed regarding this. But we use wisdom before we even delve into giving da'wah and all the rest of it. But a time may come when we are faced with having to have harm. So we are patient upon that. We are patient. And this is something that tarbiyah that we give to the Muslims is that we train ourselves on having patience. And the first one that the Sheikh Uthaymeen mentions, the first type of sabr, is sabr ala ta'atillah. Sabr, having patience on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, it takes a lot for a Muslim to be patient upon the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim has to have patience with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to have patience upon this. Okay? He has to have patience upon this in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is sabr ala maharim Allah. Yani having patience from keeping away from that haram. Keeping away from that which is haram. And the third one is being patient upon the qadr of Allah. The qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forward to a person has patience upon this. Then Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab went on to mention, and the dalil for this, he says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
That he brings them. What is the proof for these four matters? What is the evidence for these four matters which he mentions? And he says, and he quoted, and he mentions Surah Al-Asr. Surah Al-Asr, that great surah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he mentions, Wal-Asr, by time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by time, or that of his creation. For the Muslim, the creation, they are only allowed to swear by Allah. Wallahi, wa billahi, wa tallahi. We are only allowed to swear by Allah. We are not allowed to swear by His creation. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by His creation, it is allowed for Him. He says, by time. Because Allah is the one who controls time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls all of time. Okay? He controls time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of time. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by it. By time, mankind is in loss. Mankind is in loss. Verily, mankind is in loss. Lafi khusr. Except for those, and he brings an exception to that. Except for those who truly believe. Aminu. Okay. Illa alladhina aminu. Wa aminu salihat. And they do good deeds. Watawasaw bilhaq, and they enjoin the good and forbid the evil. They advise with the patience. Watawasaw bisabr, and they advise with being patient. They advise with the truth, and they advise with being patient. Okay, so this is the proof for these four issues, because all of this is actually based upon this. And for this, we have a statement by our Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the great scholar of the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia from before, and his knowledge is mashallah tabarakallah, and so vast, and he is highly regarded as a great scholar. Sheikh Ibn Baz, Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said, regarding this point and the dalil, he said, وَهَذَا هُوَ الدَّلِيلِ. And this is the proof, yani these four, this ayah, this surah. He said, this is the dalil. عَلَى هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلَ الْأَرْبَى. For these four points, yani knowledge, acting upon it, giving dawah to it, and having patience. He said, فَفِي هَذِهِ سُورَةَ الْعَظِيمَةِ. In this great surah, is hujjah li hadhi al-amur, is proof for these four points, for these issues. وَهَذَا الدِّين كُلُّهُ وَهَذَا هُوَ الدِّين كُلُّهُ. And this is all of the deed. The deed كُلُّهُ إِيمَان وَالْعَمَل وَدَعْوَ وَالصَّبَر. So it is iman, belief, action, doing good deeds, وَدَعْوَ, calling, وَالصَّبَر, iman بالحق, having iman in the truth, وَالْعَمَل بِهِ, and acting upon it. وَدَعْوَةَ عَلَيْهِ, and calling to it. وَالصَّبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَعْدَاءِهِ, and having patience for the harm from it. In this way, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Wahab brings this. He said, وَقَالَ الشَّافِعِيُّ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ لَوْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ حُجَّةً عَلَىٰ لَوْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ حُجَّةً عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا هَذِهِ سُورَةً لَكَفَتْهُ. If Allah did not reveal other than this surah, if Allah had sent down to His creation no other proof besides His surah, then it would have been sufficient for them. So if Allah had sent down to this creation no other proof, nothing else, only this surah, it is sufficient for them, because it comprises of all the four major things that we need. Then we have a statement from Imam Bukhari. This is what Muhammad ibn Wahab brings. And this is the shahid which our Sheikh Muhammad ibn Mazmoon wanted to bring, explaining these four things. This is a statement of Imam Bukhari, may Allah have mercy upon him. He says, in Sahih Bukhari, Babu al-ilmu qabla al-qawl wal-amal. Bab, the chapter, knowledge precedes action, speech and action. With the dalil for this, and the proof for this, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. And the proof for this is no. The statement of Allah, no, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and ask forgiveness of your Lord for your sins. This ayah is a beautiful ayah, because it shows us the importance of having knowledge. فَأَعْلَمْ have knowledge. أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and seek forgiveness from your Lord. So he began by mentioning knowledge before speech and action. So he began, Sayyid Muhammad ibn Wahhab rahimahullah said, so he began by mentioning knowledge before speech and action. So this is the first page and the first section that our Shaykh Muhammad Bazmoud begins with, showing us the importance of what is wajib upon the Muslim to learn, and that is knowledge. We'll end there for today, and inshallah we'll continue. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.